So the stratified sampling is basically just taking like a whole population, just splitting them into groups that share similar characteristics,
There's a
which we
trial to,
call strata.
yes, strata.
So like it's basically the advantage of it is like it's more precise than looking at just a random sample. And it's more precise because the groups have similar characteristics that are more like each other.
Right, like it represents the population more because not only do you have more samples, but you also have more specific samples. Yeah. So the fourth question we were asked was, when we see an average report, what do we need to ask besides which kind of average is being used and why?
And I thought about this a little bit, and I think it's important to like also ask like where is the statistic or like what is the average? Where did it come from? Like which sample could it have been? Like I think like the book mentioned like for example like employees' salaries, and like we all know like those can be very different, and like a CEO or something like that could make much more, and therefore the numbers would be like it could be like 30,000, 30,000, 30,000, and then it could be like in the millions somewhere. And so like it's important to like, and that can really like I feel like it can really like just sort of operate the averages differently, and I think it's really important to really get more into detailed about the actual sample and everything.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to like misrepresent your sample or whatever with bad averages, so that's a good reason. The fifth question we were asked was, which kind of average statisticians call these all three measures of central tendency? Which kind of average would give me the best way to compare the performance of two classes in a required math course and why? All right, so I would personally recommend using the arithmetic mean, the mean average, to compare two types of math courses, because generally you're not going to have. Unless you have one person who has a zero, which I don't believe is usually the case, you're usually going to get a pretty reliable estimate of where your students are with the mean. The median might, in some cases, the median could overestimate or underestimate, but the median is always, sorry, the mean is always smack in the middle of whatever your samples are. Your math classes, that would be. So,
I kind of have to argue for mode just because like it's what number comes up the most. So like if a number comes up the most in the class, I think that it has to mean something about the quiz or the class, because so many students got that. Like, 'cause the mean can be influenced by like higher low numbers. Like maybe even if a class it's not usual that you get a really low score or really high score, but there could be off chances where it does happen, and then that could really screw up your average.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, there are different types of people in the class,
Yeah.
and so some can have very high scores, very low scores, and so I think it does actually make a lot of sense to use the mode. But my next, if I had to pick another thing, it would totally be the arithmetic mean. I think
Yeah.
that's still, ordinarily, I think it could still be a very fair way to judge.
I still have to disagree. After this, we'll move on to the next question. But I would still say the mean because the mode could really be anything, honestly. Like, if, particularly when there are, like, percentages can vary so wildly, there can be decimal points that. Maybe if you rounded, that would make for a more accurate mode because you would get whole numbers, but you could still have two people with a zero in your class or just a really low score or a really high score, and those two scores would be the same. And there are probably not going to be a lot of other students who have exactly the same score. So those two students who do have the same score, they're going to represent the average, the mode for that class. And I'm not sure if that actually reflects, like, the math class that they're in. But it's, I'd say it's a matter of opinion. The sixth question we were asked was, the author suggests that some reported differences may not be real differences at all, and others, even though they can be shown to be real differences, should still be ignored. Explain how each of these two situations can arise and give an example of each.